Okay, we're going to do Parshas Vayishlach. So we're going to talk about actually two different things, two sugyot. The first one is worthwhile to note for those of you listening at home, if you are listening at home. First of all, this thing is available on iTunes. So if you see it on iTunes, can you share it or whatever? Write a review. That way more people see it on iTunes. I do it as a podcast. Anyway, yeah. Like you're listening live, so you don't need it as a...
iTunes isn't an app. What is it?
What? You know what iTunes is?
I know what iTunes is, but you said iTunes, and iTunes you buy your apps, your music, your everything, but once you said podcast.
Yes, it's a podcast. Anyway.
It's free?
Yeah, sure.
No, iTunes, iPhone, nothing's free.
No, it's all...
No, all the podcasts are free.
I live on podcasts. Anyway, that's number one. The second thing is worthwhile to notice, if you're listening maybe in a couple of years from now, we're in the middle of a very, very troubling time, very, very difficult time. And it's sort of compounding, in a sense, just this sort of daily thrum of, like, you open the news and what's going to be today. And it's not that you don't live in, I hope, people don't live in actual fear, but there's a broad awareness and anxiety, a certain, you know...
Kind of colors everything.
Yeah, right. It makes it very challenging. It makes it very, very...
You don't even want to open the news now.
What?
You don't even want to open the
slime the way
they yeah.
It's true. But you need to.
They walk on the slime.
You walk
into
where? What?
They're watching
cars.
They don't
want to
see it. Right.
Yeah, although when we went, I mean, so right. I want to deal with that as well.
Where did we go?
Remember we went a few weeks ago to a restaurant at night? We went after the program?
We did, and I felt so proud of myself.
Yeah, and you were right too. You're absolutely right too. Right.
Did it. And we do send our children into the thick of it.
Yeah, like my children have to go.
Salo goes through that Tomet once a week. So
we do. Thank you very much. Okay, so how do we deal with this? We're gonna discuss that in the context of the parsha. I'm gonna share with you a very beautiful piece from the Abarbanel that's very much worthwhile to be aware of. Really, what?
How do we deal with what?
Fear.
Overwhelming anxiety and fear today.
Yes. Right, which is very relevant today. Okay, so we'll start at the beginning of the parasha, and we're only going to get a few psukim in until we stop and start talking. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav.
You know the song?
Yeah. Yes, you know the song. Okay, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv. Arza seir sedei adam. Yaakov sent messengers before him.
The
beginning of the parasha. Lamed bet dalid. Very beginning, okay? Arza Seir Sedei Edom, to the fields of Edom, where Esav has set up camp. Vayitzav Otam, they were, and he commanded them, saying, Ko Tomula Adoni Le Esav. Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakov im Bavangarti Vaichar Ad Ata. So says your servant Yaakov. I was living with Lavan. Vaichar Ad Ata. I was a little bit delayed. I should be coming soon. Sounds like my contractor. Can't come. What?
No, I'm coming today.
I'm coming. He sent me a text. I really wanted to come.
He's on the
Mashiach
schedule.
He'll come. He will. I trust him. The winter might be over by then, but whatever. I've got oxes and donkeys and sheep and servants and maids. And I sent you a message to my master to find favor in your eyes. Now, by the way, so just how many times in two psukim, in three psukim, has he made himself subservient to Esav? So says, I am your servant. Okay? And Vashlecha la'agid la'adoni. What?
Hashem
pan. Noach, in his actions, found favor in the eyes of God. That's true, actually. But he says, I'm sending you a message, to find favor in your eyes. Lagid la'adoni, to say that, if you ever notice, he's speaking in third person. Right?
No, he's not.
Lagid la'adoni. But it's also lagid l'cha. What is la'adoni?
Okay, la'adoni.
It's a little bit right. Meaning when like that's a word.
It's
like,
a mix. It's
a mix. But that's how students talk to the Rebbe, right? Harav, hamartze, right? Hamoreh.
Really?
They don't talk to you that way.
No. Rina.
What?
No.
Harav. In college, they don't. I don't know.
Our kids do.
It says
Adoni. Yeah, where?
Sometimes they do, but that's your title. That's your name. It's not in third person.
Right, imagine, right. Adoni, very good. He's your right.
It's your title. It's not third person.
Harav.
It's not third person.
Okay. Vayashuvu ha-malachim el Yaakov le'mor. And the malachim came back to Yaakov saying, Banu elachicha el Esav, v'gam holech litratcha, v'arba me'ot ishima. Right? He's coming to meet you. He also wants to meet you.
Esav is coming. Esav
is coming. Thank you. Okay, fine. He has 400 men with him. So what is the 400 men for? Why is he gathered up 400 men? Well, ostensibly...
To fight.
Right?
Why does he feel the need to bring 400 men? And then I realized, well, Yaakov kind of was saying, I have Shor and Chamor and so on and Eved Shukcha, meaning I'm greater than I was last time you saw me.
And it's a threat?
More defensive. Hold on, Esau wants to kill him.
Right. So one of the questions, we'll see Ramban in a second. One of the questions that we always have to deal with is, if Esau wanted to kill him, why didn't Esau kill him? And if Esau didn't want to kill him, then why did he gather up the 400 men? What in the world is really going on in the end? Anyway, Vayira Yaakov.
I don't understand the question.
Esau gathered 400 men, right?
Okay.
Why?
To show his power.
Okay,
his
posturing.
It's just posturing. He never intended. Did he intend to kill to wipe out Yaakov or not?
Yes, I do.
A person who seeks power just seeks power.
Did he intend to wipe out Yaakov? Answer the question. Did he intend to wipe out his brother or not?
Yes.
From what we know
maybe
from before, yes.
Well, I don't know. You don't gather up an army for nothing. It's a whole deal. They're not traveling from the town over. He's in Edom, Seir. He's hundreds of kilometers away. Okay, he's far.
Here,
Esau. So Esau travels from Edom all the way up to greet his brother. All the way northeast, northwest. He's traveling northwest from Edom. Seir, Edom is Saudi Arabia-ish. Okay, Jordan, southern Jordan, crosses in and up north to come greet Yaakov. Right, so it's a trip.
How did he know?
With a bunch of people.
How did he know where it was?
Yaakov told him, I'm on my way from Haran.
Sent the message.
Yeah. We've discussed it in previous years. Why in the world would Yaakov do such a thing? Okay. Vayira Yaakov.
Enough of running.
What?
Maybe he had enough of running away from him.
Right. Do you initiate a confrontation?
Yeah, let's get it over with.
Why couldn't Esav come find him in Haran?
In
all those years, he was there for a long time.
No.
And Esav never went to find him there?
Why would he?
Meaning, as long as he wasn't back in Eretz Canaan, he wasn't a threat?
Why is he a threat?
Well, you have on the one hand the issue that he tricked him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
there's
stole his birthright.
The aspect of revenge. And the other side is that he's now is the contender, so to speak, for the crown.
Oh, for the birthright.
Right.
Right. So.
So why wouldn't he go?
So if he's out of the picture, if he wants to make his life in Haran, as long as he wants to make his life in Haran, Gag is in Tehei. Now he's coming back.
No, but Esav doesn't think that Yaakov would come back when Yitzchak died and take what's rightfully his. Why didn't Esav kill him all those 14 years? Why didn't he go looking for him?
Wait one second.
Him?
It's like Yikrevu Yemei Evel Avi, right? Yeah. When did Esav say he was going to kill Yaakov?
When his father died. Because he didn't want to hurt his father.
Right. So some of the Mefarshim suggest that the reason why Esav is now all of a sudden aggressive is because that's an indication that Yitzchak died. They suffer die. Some suggest.
Even though it doesn't say.
Right, we don't really. We read later on that he died.
Right.
When he comes back.
It doesn't mean when. Right.
Right. You don't. We never know. Like, does it have to be chronological or not? Anyway. Okay. Vayashuvu. We did that. Okay. 400 men. Vayira Yaakov. This is the pasuk we're obviously going to stop on. Vayira Yaakov meod vayetzer lo. Yaakov was exceedingly afraid. Vayetzer lo. That's a hard word to translate. You know?
I don't know.
What?
Distress?
Tzror, right. Rashbam says, Mizerat tzror el tamidyanim. To distress, to afflict.
Right.
Okay? Vayetzer lo. He was distressed. He was not just afraid. He was physically distressed. Vayachat et ha'am asher ito. V'etatzon v'etabakar v'hagmalim l'shnei machanot. So he split the camp and he said, "V'yomer pasuk tet, im yavo Esav al machane achat v'hikau." If Esav comes upon the first camp, haya machane hanishar l'shnei kach. Okay, and then the second camp will be able to escape. Will be able to run away. So the Chazal say, very famous Chazal, this is Yaakov's plan. He prepares for war, he prepares for peace, and he prepares and he davens. Right? Not in that order. First you pray to God, you prepare, you send all these gifts, and you hope to convince people not to fight with you, but if last resort, then you prepare for war. Interestingly, how does Yaakov prepare for war?
By splitting his
camp. By splitting his camp, hoping that
There's
half
will survive.
Well, he has.
Hoping that half will survive. Right. It's not a very good war strategy, necessarily. What?
Very Jewish.
Very Jewish? Why? What do you mean very Jewish?
Very pre-state Jewish. No. It's very defensive.
Oh, yeah, it is very defensive.
Well, maybe half are living Torah and half are fighting.
You're so current, Laurie. You're just so, like, you know, up to date in the news. Here's a question for you.
Which half is doing
what it? Right do the half that are fighting have the right not to learn Torah?
I'll leave that question by now.
Okay. The Chazal asked a very famous question. Vayira Yaakov ma'od b'yetzer lo. All of them, the Parashim asked, why was Yaakov afraid?
Right, where's his bitachon?
400 men were scared.
Where's his faith? Where's his emunah?
Not only that, in last parsha,
Mina strengthened the question. Yeah. It's not just that where's his faith. Of course he should have emunah, but he should have emunah for another reason. Why should he have emunah?
Because he told God. God told him.
Two times.
He just had that dream.
Well, before the dream. So let's go back. We're going to see. It's important to see it inside. At the beginning of Vayetze. Okay? Parsha of Vayetze.
This is like Golda Meir paragraph.
What?
This is like the Golda Meir paragraph.
What do you mean?
According to Rashi, it says he was afraid lest he be killed, and he was distressed because he would slay others. So it's called the Meir.
Right. So Israeli, right? I agree with Mina. It's so galusi.
No, this is like, we don't hate them. We hate them for making us kill their kids. You know, that's like, if they laid in.
It's so modern.
So modern.
Really?
Was Rashi modern?
I know. That's what's, and Rashi's only quoting the Midrash. Right, why would I'm troubled by that. Why would Yaakov be afraid Why would Yaakov be afraid of
to kill?
Because when you take another life, it affects you deeply. Even if you're doing it for the right reason. You know, he feels he's humane and
So I was looking in Sivtei Chachamim because I was wondering about that question. Like what? Like okay, it's one thing. So let's read Rashi for a second. Vayira, Vayetzer, right? Vayira and Vayetzer are two types of fear. So what's he afraid of? Rashi says Vayira Shama Yehareg. He's afraid he will be killed. Vayetzer Lo Im Yeharogu Et Ha'Acherim. Right? And all of them. Why would you be afraid? Like why in the world would Yaakov kill someone?
Self-defense.
Right. So why should you be afraid of killing someone in self-defense? Yes. Does that make sense?
He didn't say it was a stress. It was. You don't want to have to do that if you can avoid that. And it has repercussions afterwards. It changes you.
This is a philosophical discussion. And that's not Golda Meir's problem.
You're not Tahar anymore. Mm-hmm.
Golda Meir's problem wasn't that... Well, that she made us kill. What was her thing? What was her line?
When they love.
Not more than they love.
There was peace when.
No, that's one thing.
That's one thing. More than the Arabs, right? They
more
turned
than
our
killing our children.
They turned our children into killers or something
right,
like that.
Right.
She was full of these pithy phrases. She must have had a writer or something. you know what I mean?
It's like when you develop a new kind of strawberry. That's what she, that was one of her
Really?
That's what we love. We don't love to go out to war. We love to develop a new kind of strawberry in the field or whatever.
That which is, I have to tell you,
it's true.
Like the, how should we say this? A lot of people did not like Golda Meir because of these statements that she made. Because there's a notion of like a certain sense of Jewish weakness. Like,
I think this is what we were talking about. After the Holocaust, we've gone to slaughter. It was a different era.
Yes, correct.
You didn't want to hear that. You're right. But now,
what do you mean now? Why should it be? This is exactly the question.
It hasn't
why should it be any different? Like, if anything has been taught to us in the last, I don't know, 50 years, and it should be reinforced to us now, when we display weakness, right? We are then victims to that weakness. And when we display strength and we say...
It's not a weakness to show humanity. It's to not want to go to war and to not...
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is.
I disagree with you. It is. And not, and maybe to you it's not, but to the enemies of Israel, it absolutely is.
As a nation, as a nation, not as a nation.
As soon as you display a distaste, oh, I don't want to do it, oh, whatever, as soon as you display that, as soon as you demonstrate that, really?
Take advantage.
Right.
Well, why does Hashem want us to
be strong? Mm-hmm. If you ask me, God wants us to be strong. He wants us. He wants us to be in a position where we don't have to kill, because other people realize that if they rise up against us, they will be. They will be. How should we say? They will meet such a retribution that it's simply not worth it. And between you and me, what do you think Israel did in Lebanon and in Gaza the past 5 years? Why do you think that Hezbollah isn't shooting rockets at us?
Because she had strength.
There's a very simple reason. Because we beat the snot out of them. And the people in Lebanon are like, don't you dare.
They're waiting.
What?
For the right time.
When is it not the right time? When is it not the right
time? It's not the right time now because
Iran
we're strong.
Says wait.
What?
When Iran, how strong are we that we have a curfew on how many, a number on how many people can pray at the Temple Mount?
Oh, so you ask a different question. So by your definition, people would agree with you and say, how strong are we if we're not even willing to show ribonut on Har HaBayit? There's a different question entirely.
One's a military, one's a spiritual.
It's a, no, it's a political question. I actually, I am not such a Har HaBayit person. This, meaning I believe that when the time is right for us to go up to Har HaBayit, like that's one area where we can't. It's not up to us to force the issue. When it's time for us to build a Beit HaMikdash,
to give it away the way we did.
I didn't say to give it away.
But that's what we did.
We did not give it away.
What happened to the use it or lose it?
Gave them
I don't know. I've changed over time.
No, we have to discuss this.
Yes. Okay.
I believe it.
No.
If you don't show up.
You
know,
did
somebody
you see that
who's
video
there,
after
they feel like they don't want it. You know, it's like,
one second. Okay, fine. Yeah, I gave that speech. So
you
so
did
worry.
Give that
I did
speech.
Give that speech. But then, I don't know.
If you go to Hebron for Shabbat, every Shabbat there is a...
I didn't say about Hebron.
Every Shabbat there's a group of people that goes through the Arab side of Hebron under armed guard because they want to make a statement that we are here, we are present, this is not yours.
There's a shul in the Arab Peninsula, too.
Obviously, this is a very interesting and deep discussion that, based on this Rashi of Vayira Vayetzer, what do you do with this? Why should they be afraid? Well, you know what I'm saying? I believe that this then is a, it's a, like, I think I strongly agree with Rina's formulation. It's a Galuti mentality, in a sense.
Well, he is coming from Galut. Yaakov is coming from Galus. He's coming from Haran. He's not. He hasn't been in Israel. He hasn't. For the last 14 years, he hasn't felt the strength of the land empowering him.
So there was Sifrei Chachamim. Sifrei Chachamim has a halachic description. He says. One second. Why is he afraid? Sifrei Chachamim is a commentary. There's a bazillion. There's over like 100 commentaries on Rashi.
It's called the super commentary.
Yeah. Yaakov aya yare shama yarog et Esav v'Yitzchak yitzta'er biyoter. Maybe if he kills Esav, why is he afraid of killing him? Because according to the most explanations, Yitzchak is still alive. And so if he's forced to kill Esav, then it will cause his father anguish. Okay?
And it's his brother.
What?
And it's his brother.
One second. The v'Yishaya ohev le'Esav. Ki bechezkat kashrut haya Esav be'enei Yitzchak. Esav still...
Like that
use of the... Bechezkat kashrut. Yitzchak still thinks Esav is a good kid, right? V'yikalel et Yaakov. And now maybe he'll curse him now. Like, there's still like this... What will Dad say? It's so interesting. That's not he's afraid of killing.
It's deeper than that. It's not... Well, on the one hand, it's he doesn't want to cause distress to his father. On the other hand, it's how is this going to affect me... i.e. that my father, whatever my father says, happens, and just like he gave me a bracha that I wanted, he could give me a curse that I don't. It's not what will Dad say.
I want to give you the second explanation. Second explanation involves halachic gymnastics. Okay? So he says, second explanation can't be he was afraid of killing Esav, because there's a halacha, a very clear halacha that says, haba lahargecha hashkem lahargo.
You're allowed to.
You're not allowed to.
It's a mitzvah. It's not allowed to.
I wouldn't say it's a mitzvah. It's an imperative. I wouldn't say it's a mitzvah. It's a...
To defend yourself?
Legal imperative. Hashkem l'hargo. Do it. Defend yourself. Rather, Yaakov aya mitarei shema yaharog hu anashim et el shel Esav. Maybe he would kill Esav's men, okay? But, and they only came to kill not him, but they came to kill his people. So therefore, maybe they wouldn't be chayav mita, and maybe that he would be able to save them. It sounds like the mental gymnastics of the Bagatz. It really does. Like,
I don't have patience when they do that, when they take latter-day halachic discussions and put them into the minds of the avot.
Right. Mikol makom, you're right. Im yachol, it sounds like the United Nations. Im yachol v'hatzil be'echad me'evarav, maybe he could have injured the guy trying to kill him. And he killed him. Maybe it won't be a justified killing because of the confusion of war. It sounds exactly like the UN. Like that's what Yaakov is afraid of. What?
You didn't give them the Iron Dome.
You didn't give them the Iron Dome, right? It's very strange. Like why would Yaakov be afraid of killing? It's very interesting. So I don't know. I don't really know.
He didn't get any directive from Hashem.
What?
He didn't get any directive from
In this case?
In this case.
Ah, so the second question, why is Yaakov afraid? Okay? So this is based upon, Chazal discussed this based upon two psukim. In the morning, God came in his first dream. He had two visions. Okay? God says, V'hine anochi imach, I will be with you. This is kavchet tetvav. You can just listen. U'shmarticha b'chol ater telech, and I will guard you wherever you go. And I will return you to this land. I will not abandon you until I do everything I promised you. I.e., he has divine promise of protection. That's pretty good. Okay? Not only that. At the end of Parashat Vayetze, where was it, Rina? Did you find it?
Oh, I was looking at that one.
Uh-huh. At the end of Parashat Vayetze, 8 days before, blah, 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 blah. 1 second. Okay. God comes to Yaakov.
In the dream?
1 second.
The dream that he tells him?
Shoo! 1 second. Vayomer, it's in Lamed Aleph Gimel. Vayomer Hashem El Yaakov. Not even in a dream. God comes to Yaakov and says, Shoo el eretz avotecha ulumar laretetecha. Return to the land of your fathers and your birthplace. Ve'ye imach. And I will be with you. Like, what's that? That's pretty good. Like, God says, I will be with you. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of? Anyone?
Did God tell him to kill him?
No. By Yira, maybe he'll be afraid of being killed.
I still think there's no effect of the psychological impact of killing somebody else.
Why are you afraid of being killed? What are you afraid of?
I don't think he's afraid of being
killed. No, Rashi says he's afraid of being killed. Rashi says both this and that. By Yira and by Yeta. He's afraid of killing and afraid of being killed.
Do you think Hashem wouldn't get him killed? Hashem
God did it. If God promises you divine protection, what are you afraid of? What's there to be afraid of? I actually just need my plug. The Barbanel maybe is in the computer.
The Barbanel is also in the book over there.
What's that?
We have books that have a Barbanel in it too.
Yeah, but that's fine with the Barbanel.
It's not only about being protected if you kill someone, it's about being the type of person who kills.
Right. Fine. No, we said he's afraid of killing. But the question is, why is he afraid? Why is he afraid of being killed? What's he afraid of? He has nothing to be afraid of. God promised. No, he can kill him. Why is he afraid of killing? God promised. Hey, yeah, I'll be with you. What are you afraid of?
God promised Esav.
What did God promise Esav?
What did he promise Esav?
What did he promise Esav?
I don't know. What did he promise him?
He didn't promise him that he wouldn't be killed. That he, I don't know, nothing.
Did Hashem promise that he would be with him and all of his household?
Oh, that's one solution. Very good. So one suggestion. Let me see if I can find it.
Very good. A good mother.
Very good. Okay. First of all, so let's look at Rashi. Very famous. Rashi is very famous. Okay. What was he afraid of?
You hear that all the time as an excuse for not making Aliyah.
Okay. What?
I just don't want to put my kids in a position of danger.
Do you know my childhood? No. Me last week, somebody said to me, we had a guest from America who said, "Do you love it here?" It was on Friday. And I said, I wouldn't use that adjective. I wouldn't say I love it here. But I'm definitely glad that we made the move. And I was thinking with the kids, are they glad? And I was telling Simcha about it. And he goes, Ima,
There's no doubt about it. This is where
we brainwashed them.
Yeah. We're here.
They love it.
My
boys don't even want to go and visit.
Yeah, my kids. Oh, I can tell you that we go back during the summer, and my kids are very happy to be back.
Okay, yeah. The Midrash says the following. The first answer, I don't see it in Rashi, but I'm sure it's in Rashi.
It's not in general. I don't know where you need it.
That's the problem. The problem in the answer, the quote about. Okay, the Midrash says the following. Midrash says, what was he afraid of? Yes. That's it. Thank you. Okay. So I don't need the computer. Terrific. Okay. Vayira Yaakov. Okay. Adam Shakadosh Baruch Hu Hiftiach Chaya Yireyam Pachay. What's he afraid of? God promised him. Okay. Ela Shamar Yaakov Avinu Oili Shema Yigrom Hachet. They're the classic answer. Oh, maybe I'm not the Yaakov that I originally was. Maybe that God promised me, but I have sinned in between. Okay. And due to that sin, you know, even though the promise was then, that was then, this is now.
That's considered a valid excuse. 14
so many times.
No, didn't he just promise him when he had the dream?
Yes, it was 8 days ago. Yes, they're right. So 21 years ago, that answer. So, but this is a classic answer of Chazal. A classic answer of Chazal that all tzaddikim, I mean, but there is something to it. All tzaddikim have a sense of humility in the sense that, yes, God promised me X, Y, and Z, but maybe really I'm not worth it. We see it about Abraham Avinu also. We see very often that God, why is Abraham afraid? God promised him children. What are you afraid of? Chazal always ask us about the Avot. And the answer, the classic answer they always give is Shema Yigrom Hachet. Because as great as you are, right, that a person says to himself, a great Gadol says to himself, yes, God promised it to me, but he doesn't really know me. Oh my God! Right, you know, I was on a high then, but you know, I wasted so much time. And I
remember the whole thing that happened with Rachel and the Trafim since then.
Oh, the 8 days? That was Rachel. What did he do?
But he said something, and
he hadn't said that. Then she.
Yeah. Okay. One second. There's a couple of 1 second.
There must be something specific that he's talking about.
Okay. A couple of answers. There's a few answers. Pirush HaRash. Kasheh. Ech meitzar Yaakov achar shivticho kama haftachot. Like, how is he afraid after he's, you know, God promised him so many things. V'rashi pirish pirushav. Rashi brought his pirush, i.e. Rashi brought the Midrash. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I heard, maybe he was afraid. Shema mi shivticho haya levado. Maybe when God made his promise, he was alone. Aval ata hayu lo banim. But now he has a whole family. Ulefika haya yare. Okay. He was afraid. Meaning, God said, yes, ushmarticha b'chol atcher teilech. I will guard you wherever you go. There's no guarantee about his children. There's no guarantee about his wealth, about his household. And therefore he says, Pen yavo vihikani aim al banim. Yeah, he praises it. He said, God, Yaakov says to God, I'm afraid maybe you will come and kill children and mothers and children. And yes, Yaakov says, I'm okay, but is that really what I want? No, I'm afraid for I have a lot more things to worry about now. Not more than myself. And that's exactly what you said. That's Yaakov's fear, and that's a very legitimate fear. Mm-hmm. That God says he'll be with you. You know, like, you know, we think of, like, I always think about the end of the story of Eov. Right? We know the story of Eov, and like God, like the angel comes and says to God, oh, he loves you now, but that's only because everything is great. So he takes away his family, takes away his children, loses all his wealth, terrible suffering.
His health.
And his health, terrible suffering. So what's the end of the story after the whole story?
I don't know the end of the story. Just know that he suffered.
No, so he comes to this realization. The whole story is about a philosophical issue, like it's a philosophical discussion, right? But the end of the story is, so God gave him more wealth and new family and whatever. And I always thought to myself, yeah, at the end, he restores him. What?
Consolation prize.
Yeah, like.
It doesn't replace the suffering.
No, right. It's like, mm-hmm. What about he wanted another children. He's not mourning over those sons and those grandchildren that were killed in a terrible whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is that a? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't have that answer. Okay.
Yossi's grandparents.
What's that?
Yossi's grandparents. Yossi's late grandfather lost a wife and two teenage daughters in the Shoah. And then married Yossi's grandmother and started a family.
Right, you never.
There was never. It was a marriage for the sake of continuation.
Right.
You couldn't find two more different people in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, right. But I'm saying, right. But I'm saying, even though later, even if a person remarries, and there is love, and they do build a family, and it is wonderful. Still, you know,
there's a loss.
Yeah, of course, it's a loss. You know what I'm saying? There's this idea, like this idea of that Yaakov was afraid. We can understand his fear. We can very much understand that fear. 1 second, Bali Atosfot. They saw another one. Okay. Oh. What was he afraid of, the sin? What sin was he afraid of? So some of Farshim say it's based on a different midrash.
Midrash?
Okay. Says the Chizkuni. What was he afraid of? Nikyaresha magaram hachet. What sin? The Vishashaha bebeit Lavan esrim shana. Okay? He was in Beit Lavan 20 years. Velonit asek pekibud avaim. Remember, one thing Esav was really good at was kibud avaim. So therefore, he was afraid. Like, it's not garam hachet. What chet was he? Did he specifically fail to fulfill? Kibud avaim. Others say
mitzvah.
Kibud
av. So that's why Esav was stronger than him.
Oh, others say there's one other mitzvah that Esav did not fulfill that Yaakov did not fulfill.
Being an Eretz Yisrael.
That's right. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. They talk about it, right. They talk very strongly about that Yaakov was afraid. What?
So those are biggies. Esav's coming into battle with two biggies.
Yeah.
No, but Esav lives in Edom.
Until he moved to Edom. Yeah, that's a good question. He moved to Edom. You know what I'm saying? When, I don't remember who says it. Edom is
Jordan.
Like,
Jordan.
Saudi Arabia. But that's what they talk about. That you know, the notion that he was afraid because Esav had this zechut of being in Eretz Yisrael for much, much longer than he had. Okay. 1 second. Oh, Kliyakar has a different explanation. One more explanation I'll give you. Okay, he says to Father, what's he afraid of? Kliyakar says, I don't understand. Okay, it's one thing, like all the 20 years. But when did God last appear? 8 days ago. So that, what's he afraid of? What happened? What possibly happened between now and then? So Kliyakar says, Yaakov hirgish ba'atzmo shechata bazeh shechnif larasha. His sin was that he flattered this wicked person. That he buttered up Esav. Amar Abdecha Yaakov, your servant Yaakov. Chazal al Yaakov, and Chazal, they criticize him for this issue. Yaakov asa kodesh chol. Yaakov made the holy into the mundane. The karal leitzav Adoni mitzav chanufa. Because he was afraid, so he was buttering him up. Your servant, I'm so worried about. You're so great. You're so awesome. After he did that, he realized, oh my God, what did I do? Right? And so maybe God would say, really? You're the servant? Really? He's your master? Let's see how you like that.
That's a stronger...
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, therefore, Hayamit Yare, he was afraid, ki yada Yaakov shekach hayam midah, shekol hamachnif l'rasha, sof nofel biyado. If you flatter the person who is wicked, you flatter the wicked, you know, you make a deal with the devil, you're chamberlain with the Nazis, sooner or later, you know, you kiss up to them and you're gonna fall into their clutches as well. There's a truth to that.
So what was Yaakov thinking 7 days before when he did that? Like,
he was afraid. He thought the best thing to do was to kiss up to them. Maybe
it didn't work, he's coming anyway.
Yeah, he's coming anyway. Oh God. Now what have I done? Mm-hmm. What have I unleashed? Raman says very interesting, he says he was afraid, he was afraid on the one hand. How do you defend yourself? It's interesting. The Rambam said, how do you defend yourself? Like, Yaakov defends himself by splitting up the camp. Like, so at least when he wipes out half, when he wipes them out, only wipe out half. Thanks. Like, good idea. Rambam says, what's he supposed to do? On the one hand, if he arms them, then what's Esav going to think?
That they want to fight.
Oh, you want to fight? Let's go. You know what I'm saying? So if you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. He is in a weaker position. Esav is strong. So the only thing he could think of doing was splitting the camp, and putting himself in a weak position. Like, these are very interesting.
Battles, they never had to deal with other, you know, plunderers and armies. Like, these were the only main two groups.
One could suggest on his travels that he wasn't as, like, we know for a fact now. We're not reading today, but with the story of Dinah and Shechem, mm-hmm. that the brothers were having none of it. You know, you can imagine, it's very difficult to think. The brothers, the Yaakov's sons are older now.
No, the Reuven is 14.
How long until the...
Reuven is 14.
How long until the Shimon and Levi wipe out Shem? How long does it take?
I don't know how much time it's...
Right there, on the way back.
Okay, Reuven is 14. Year. Just keep it in mind. Reuven is 14.
So then how long... What?
Then how old is Tina?
Who was she born with? When was she born?
He's 14, what? So she was
when
she was a child?
Yeah, apparently I heard that.
That what?
Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem. Right then. It's not...
It can't be right then.
How long... He comes back. It doesn't take that long. He comes right back. He's on his way back. 2 years? 3 years?
Fine. I'm just pointing out that when he comes back to Israel... Reuven is 14. He worked for Rachel for 7 years, and then he married Leah, and then she had Reuven, and that was 14 years.
Vayhi b'yom ha'shlishi vayichu shnei b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi achi dina ish charbo v'yavor le'er betach v'yahargu kol zachar. Even if all the people are in pain and lying around, when they hear everybody start screaming, you think they don't try to defend themselves? Two people can wipe out an entire city. Right. They weren't the kind to lie down. You can imagine these kids, Shimon and Levi, these angry children, right? How they felt when they saw their father prostrating himself in front of Esau. Mm-hmm. And you know what they said to themselves?
Never again.
We're not doing that. And Yaakov himself says, and we're not doing this today, but Yaakov himself says, what are you doing? Are you guys nuts? People are going to come and plunder us. And they said, Hachazona yaset achotenu? No. No. You know, it's a difference in perspective. Like, I think I really strongly agree with your first comment, that Yaakov is the...
Galut
mentality. Like, the weakness. And his children don't have that. They're not subservient to Esav in any way.
They're stubborn.
What?
They're Sabras.
They're Sabras. Well, they weren't Sabras, but they're Olim. Yaakov is the Sabra. Yaakov, you know, he did Yerida. Okay, let's do the Abarba now. And the Abarba now talks, this is very relevant.
Don't mess with
Olim.
In a way.
What?
Chayelim Bodedim.
Chayelim Bodedim. Okay. So Abarbanel doesn't address what about the Zchut Avot or whatever, but he deals with the idea of fear in general.
He would be one to talk, although any of them would be one to talk. None of them exactly lived in a time.
It's easy for us to talk. No, it's only the only reason.
No, my point is that Abravanel lived in a time of great persecution for the Jews, but so did most of these Parshanim live in a time of great persecution for the Jews. So
they all did.
Yeah.
When was a good time?
Now.
Now is a good time.
Now would be the time.
10 years ago.
10 years ago, too. No, whatever. This idea of...
Now.
Did you see that video?
No, but the number of people who get killed now versus the number of people who were killed in an attack.
I don't click on everything.
10 years ago.
I only click on the ones where the people are...
I'm going back to work, and I'm not afraid, and I'm going to drive an autobus.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to work next week, and we're not going to be afraid. Like, such...
I only click on the videos of people like that cook like junk food like in 10 seconds and they show you how to do that.
Okay. And
it
doesn't work.
It doesn't really work. Okay.
Just so quickly on a side note, I have a friend who was in the cafe here 11 years ago.
Yeah.
She was saved from his cousin,
the uncle,
the security guard.
Yeah.
And she's coming from Australia to pay a shiva call
really?
To the wedding tonight for the...
Yeah? Are you going to the wedding? Is that wedding tonight?
I think so, yeah.
The wedding's tonight.
In Yerushalayim?
In Vinyanei Ha'Uma.
10:30, yeah.
What time is it?
They've requested people come 10:30.
Ah, yeah, because otherwise if everybody shows up for the chuppah, it would be like a mob scene.
Well, I would also imagine like all the siblings want to be there, but then they can't stay for the dancing.
I don't know how that works. Right. It's an issue. Anyway, it's important to point out, even though with everything that's going on, it's really, really important to put things in perspective. We were not here 10 years ago, right? We were just we were not. I know, were you guys here 10 years ago with the
I was here 9 years ago.
What?
We came at the
you were here?
End of the Lebanese war.
With the bombings and that wasn't even 10 years ago. It was 15 years ago.
No, we're here.
It was the second
Intifada.
Yeah, the degree to which things are better now than they were then, and the magnitude of the attacks, we should thank God for that. You know, you have to put everything in perspective. The idea.
They can't just easily do that.
What?
They're choosing not to.
I know. I don't agree.
No.
What's stopping them from getting involved?
Israeli awareness. Security services. Israeli
security.
Yeah. Don't kid yourself.
intelligence.
Yeah, it's not
a lot of people are saying they prefer rockets.
What?
I do.
We don't really have a choice.
Right, nobody asked you. You know why they're not? You know why they're not?
It's so great. You know it's irrelevant.
You know why they're not shooting rockets?
Because they don't have any more.
Because they're too scared.
Because we beat the snot out of them last time. Because they don't want to tire.
Until next summer.
Whatever. Right. Yes. Anyway, but my point is, it is significantly better. And the fear that we have is magnified by the fact, like it used to be that we just heard the news once a week, once an hour. Like the beep, beep, and then the whole country. Right? The fear is that it's all...
It's instant.
Right. Meaning, they call this, the word is the instifada. So the instifada is in both ways. On the one hand, they're strengthening themselves by sharing all the time these videos, by having to do it and encouraging, etc. They're also terrorizing us because we are terrorizing ourselves. Because we're, every 2 seconds, you're looking at your cell phone and somebody's sharing a video of somebody who's... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, put it in perspective. It's very important to realize that it's bad... But people are dying far more on the roads than they are by terrorist attacks. Like, far, far worse than people are being killed in traffic accidents. You know, no debate whatsoever. Not that you should minimize, but just put in perspective.
I think the thing is that you feel when you're driving, you have a little bit more control.
Which you don't.
But it's a control issue.
Which is false.
No, you're in a tin can.
It's a control issue. No, but I'm saying that the fear is...
But that's you. But that's exactly my point.
But it's a legitimate fear.
Not really. It's not
What's
as
the
legitimate.
Definition of a legitimate fear? It's a feeling.
My point is exactly that. If you were talking about a statistic legitimate fear based on what's going on, you should be much more afraid to drive to Yerushalayim than you would be to walk around and go eat at a restaurant. That's the bottom line.
No.
Statistically.
About
correct or incorrect?
Drive anywhere.
Anywhere. You should, the drive there should be much scarier. Much more fearful.
Especially with the road.
It is pretty scary, right.
Especially
the
road under construction.
Right.
You
but
you
understand my point? But what makes us more afraid? What makes us more afraid is this focus. So let's everybody, like, we have to learn. We really do. And, like...
This is even more so in foot diaries. I've got friends who've got
sure,
kids in
terrible.
Here, and they're terrified to come to Israel to visit their kids. But when he's scared to stay in a hotel in Yerushalayim because all the staff are Arabs and you never know what the cleaning lady is going to do to you.
It's a problem.
And you don't. A lot of people are doing these attacks. They have work licenses and they're in working places and they just decided that week to do it.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. But the point is, our fear is definitely blown out of proportion to the level that this is happening. I mean, the vast majority of these attacks are not people that are integrated. These are people who are living in outlying villages and are deciding.
That's true.
Yeah, vast majority.
There are people that were in supermarkets working for 30 years in Harnof.
It's a problem. Okay. Pachad Yaakov. Let me read. So now the environmental is especially relevant. Okay.
Working in a restaurant in Yaakov.
Yeah.
Pachad Yaakov, Yiratome Esav. Right? He says the fear of Yaakov. Yaakov's fear of Esav and his trepidation. Lo haya michulshat emunato ubitchono biyudav. It was not out of his weakness of faith in his destiny. Ki be'emet libo batuach Hashem. He was faithful in God. Right? It wasn't a lack of faith. Aval haya pachado kederech hagibur ha'amiti b'ikanso lemilchama. It was in the manner of a great hero, a great warrior, when he enters into war. Yipached mehamavet v'yargish b'sakana. He's afraid of death, and he appreciates the fact that he's engaged in danger. Aval b'vnei ha'ma'aleh, but because of his exalted, because of his greater dedication, yibazeh ha'chayim v'yivchar ha'mavet ha'yafeh. He will not denigrate, but he'll put aside his desire to live, and he'll choose a good death. Meaning, when a person goes out to war, when a soldier goes to war, a soldier does not go to war because he thinks he won't be killed. A soldier doesn't go to war because he's not afraid. A soldier goes to war because he understands that this fight is worth, and my willingness to sacrifice is worth the goal that I'm going to achieve.
The greater good.
U'kamo shezachar ha-filosof b'sefer ha-midot. As the Rambam writes in Sefer ha-midot. U'mi shiyikanes le-milchama l'chashvo shelo yamut. Right? Somebody who goes into war thinking he's not going to die. Lo nikra nadiv. Right? He's not considered someone who is generous. We'll see in a second. Kizeh v'tov b'chirato. There's definitely a problem here in the printing.
Sorry.
Printing. There's a misprint here. He skipped half the paragraph. Hold on a second. I have to give you the he skips half of the quote. I never would have known this if I had. Give me a minute. I'm going to open up the. I have it printed somewhere else. Can you, my system, resume?
So maybe we need to buy a new edition of a Brabant.
This is, it's missing half a paragraph.
So maybe we need a new set of books.
Send it back.
We need to buy more books.
Yeah, send it back to the printer.
No, I got this my graduation from high school.
Is that yours or mine?
Excuse me.
Oh, that's yours.
That's mine.
Are you going to throw that away with the beautiful inscription from your father? Okay. He says the following, so I'll say it one second. I just have to find the file. The reason I saw this was because I'm the editor of Oroth's Parsha thing. Right? Our Parsha, weekly Parsha thing. I edit for content. And this was shared by a student in her. She wrote it on this Parsha. And so I thought, I saw it, and it's so powerful. One second. Oroth files. Tapeim Oroth. Tavshin Hain Vav. What are we, Vayishlach?
Yeah.
Okay. And she brought the whole quote. So I'll just read
it. So maybe the quote is from Sefer HaMidot that she brought.
No. You're missing the piece.
I don't think so.
And you're a beautiful Rambam. Tell your father. Yeah, you want another Rambam now?
Yeah.
Okay.
He would buy it.
He would, too. Okay. Yargish v'sakana. Okay. U'kamo shalachan nefasim v'idot. U'mi shi'ikanes l'milchama. L'choshro shelo yamut. Someone who enters into war thinking, I'm not going to die. Lo nikra gibor. That's not a brave person. Right? What? You're not brave. If you think that you're not going to die, if you think that you're impervious, you're, on the one hand, not brave and also foolish. Okay? He says, the same thing is about a person who is generous. What if a person says, I don't believe in money anymore. I've decided that I'm against a capitalist system. So therefore, I'm going to take all my wealth and throw it away. I'm going to give it to anybody. I'm going to take it to Binyanei Umah tonight and just throw them like a pun, tons of money and see people grab for the money. Would you say, oh, what a generous person?
What an idiot.
He's an idiot. Okay? That's not generous. That's not nadib. Okay? He didn't do it out of his good, the goodness of his heart, of a choice. Okay? Because he did it because he wants to throw away his money. If you want to be a generous person, a generous person is someone who wants his money, values his money, but gives it to somebody else anyway. That's generosity. The same thing, is true about a gibor. A brave person is someone who is anguished about death. But he chooses to enter into the war because of mitzad ha'ma'ale, because of its positive desires, the outcomes, etc. The generous person loves money, but gives away money, is generous because it's an exalted attribute. Same as with Yaakov. If he wasn't afraid, it wouldn't show his faith in God. If he wasn't afraid, what are you worried? You don't have any faith. You don't need faith if you're not afraid. He's going to his brother because God promised me. But now that he said that he evaluated that Esav hates him, and he knew this definitely, until his life force was like he was literally trembling. This is this comment. Sichlo, his intelligence, hamanhig et koach ha-me'orer asher bo, that guides his ability to overcome. The thing that awakens within him, Ga'arbo al Pachto, rebuked his fear. V'hit amet v'halach likrat echiv. And he was strong, and he went to go see his brother. Ze be'emet ha-ro'i likro ma'amin. This is a person who is a person of faith, b'nevu ato, u'boteach bi'yud Elohav. And he's a person that has faith in God, the destiny of God. So it's a person who is afraid, it's not a person who doesn't believe. A person who is afraid, it's a person who believes. But the belief comes from the fact that even though you're afraid, you go anyway. Right? It's not that you think that nothing's going to happen to you. Oh, nothing's going to happen to me. No, things happen. There's danger in the world. But it's a value to go to a restaurant and go out for dinner. First of all, it's not definite. Let's look at the statistics. But even without that, yes, there's a small possibility. Nonetheless, it's more important for us. There's a value in us saying, we will, like, this is the Father. I will not be afraid. He didn't mean I will not be afraid. He meant I will not let my fear cause me to cower at home.
Yeah.
I will not let the people who are trying to intimidate me through these random acts of violence cause me to lose my country because of it.
So is that a responsible thing to do?
Absolutely. It's a person of faith. That's a person of emunah.
That's Eleanor Roosevelt.
So what did Eleanor Roosevelt? Lorena has a great quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. What's that?
Where's the lot? Like, a soldier is one thing, right? A soldier, that's his job. He's going out to fight.
Right.
But
putting yourself in danger.
Civilians who are...
Oh, so I would say, if you would ask...
There's a difference between driving into Gaza.
That's an excellent question. Right, so I would say that the level of faith and responsibility corresponds to the level of danger and obligation. A soldier's responsibility is to go fight in a war. That's his job. So, and the war is far more dangerous and far more deadly than normal life. Okay? That's his job and that's his responsibility. He must deal with his fear in his way. Our job is to go have dinner. Our job is to live our lives. To go to work.
But should we go
out
of our way?
When are you going?
No, I'm saying, should we go out of our way to go to a place to have dinner? Because, you know, should we go out of our way to go to Yerushalayim and have dinner? Or versus going to dinner somewhere local?
Would you otherwise go to dinner somewhere local?
Yeah.
Who says somewhere local is better or worse?
But that's
to be brutally honest with you,
nowadays.
Now you have no idea. Uh-huh. It's so random. The point is not where to go to dinner. The point is not to not go to dinner, or all your friends, or anybody living here, right? You should come anywhere to come visit. Right? If we're talking to the people at home and who's ours. But if you're not coming because you're afraid, right, that is giving in. It's not more, it might be a tiny bit more dangerous, yes. But people come to visit Israel because they love Israel. And they go to restaurants and they go to hotels and their fear of God only knows who the Arab worker is, whatever, legitimate. That's why you come anyway. Because, and that is emunah and bitachon in our mission. And that's why the Rabbanan is so proud. It's so true. It's so true. Nobody promises God. God doesn't promise us absolute protection. But our level of faith in the yi'ud, in the ultimate destiny, in our mission, that's something that has to guide us. And so it's for all of us. For us to go to dinner, for the Americans to come and visit their children, for the Americans to continue to send their children, because this is who we are. And that's why we have this country. And it's through, like you say, through Shifra, the normal acts of going and buying groceries. And for people in Gush, it's going to buy their groceries.
On the one hand, they're doing that, and on the other hand, they're saying, strengthen us. They're doing both things.
Both are true.
They're doing both things.
Well, they're absolutely correct and appropriate. No. Well, they're absolutely correct. I find this environment now very...
Are they to protect us enough? Are they strong enough?
What's that?
Are the measures taken by the defense system strong enough to protect the civilians?
No defense, no system can protect... No defense system can protect No defense system can protect everything from everyone.
In the past month, you know what I mean? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You go there Thursday to shop. There is a chance that something's going to happen during your.
Albeit a tiny
not
chance.
That,
yes.
Not so tiny.
Think about the statistics.
Maybe death is tiny.
Tiny.
Maybe it's a tiny chance that you're going to die.
Yes.
Something's going to happen in that area in the few hours that you're there.
That's plain with statistics.
The job of the Marechet HaBitachon is to ensure our safety to the best of their ability, and they're working at it. And I heard them talking to you know what I'm saying? I heard the head of Gush Etzion on the radio. He says, I don't not trust the people. I don't think that they're muzzled or they're prevented. They're doing the best of their ability. No one, especially in Tim, you can't guarantee 100%. There's no guarantees in life. What we can do is say, we're not going to give up Gush Etzion. Because we're not. Okay. And the way, how do you not give up Gush Etzion?
You go shopping in Rami Levi.
Go shopping in Rami Levi. There's only one way. We have to go shopping, like, you don't do dangerous things or stupid things. But even when they were shooting rockets, there was a mamad in Rami Levi. And I went to Rami Levi. Because...
Yes, but you would go at a time. You wouldn't necessarily bring your children there. You would go at a time, you know...
Okay, so you're making responsible choices, right. But you're not locking yourself up into a house because you're not doing anything.
Correct. Everybody's to find their balance.
Living.
Let me put it this way. Everybody has to find their balance and their sense of bravery. But a sense of emunah doesn't mean I shouldn't be afraid. Me and I give the Eleanor Roosevelt quote. What did she say?
Bravery is being scared and doing it anyway.
We tell that to our children all the time.
We see one of the songs the soldiers always sang. You see them, Mishu.
Mishu ma'amin lo mefachem.
That's not true.
That's what I'm about. That's exactly
why. Why do they
point.
Do that? Because it's not that they're not afraid. Right. It gives them strength. It's not that they're not afraid.
Right. That's exactly Barbanel's point. Mishu ma'amin. That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah. They think about it.
That's Barbanel's exact point. Mishu ma'amin came mefachem, but he goes to the fight anyway.
Nachon, they're there in the fighting.
Yeah, and I think they would agree. All right, we'll stop here.